Hey guys, Brandon Julian here. I'm the host of the Update with Brandon Julian podcast. Speaking of podcasts, have you ever thought about starting your own podcast? When I was trying to get this podcast off the ground, I had a lot of questions. How do I record an episode? How do I get my show into all the apps that people like to listen to? How do I make money from my podcast? Well, the answer to every one of these questions is really simple. Anchor. Anchor is a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing your podcast. And the best part of all of it? It's 100% free, and it's ridiculously easy to use. And now, Anchor can match you with great sponsors who want to advertise on your podcast. That means you can get paid to podcast right away. In fact, that's what I'm doing right now by recording this ad. What I personally love about Anchor is that it allows me to record my show from anywhere, whether I'm here in the studio at Kingsborough, or whether I'm on the road reporting from Washington or any other part of the city. So if you've always wanted to start a podcast and make money doing it, go to anchor.fm/start. That's anchor.fm/start to join me and a diverse community of podcasters that are already using Anchor. That's anchor.fm/start. I can't wait to hear your podcast. Good afternoon from the Staten Island 9/11 Memorial in St. George. On the update this Wednesday, there's been an ongoing debate among the headstrong New Yorkers among us over just when and where it's necessary to wear a mask in the fight against the spread. The governor, of course, ordered masks for those who can't maintain social distancing, and the mayor has pledged to distribute 7.5 million masks. But some city dwellers are adopting their own exceptions to the rule. We'll have the latest details. For those students that are going to be returning from their unprecedented break from school, they could find themselves making up lost time either in summer classes, in the evening, or even on Saturdays. The options around the country range from starting as early as July in California, school year-round in Maryland, or lessons in the new school year may simply begin just where they left off. People in England can now exercise more than once a day and with one person from outside their household, provided, of course, the rule to remain more than 6 feet apart is adhered to. And advice from the nation's top disease control experts on how to safely reopen businesses and institutions in the pandemic included detailed instructive guidance and some more restrictive measures than the plan that was released by the White House last month. This is the update, Wednesday, May the 13th, 2020.
This is the update with Brandon Julian, reporting tonight on the road.
And a very pleasant Wednesday to you, Brandon Julian, the host of the Update podcast exclusive, also on the WKRB Mixcloud channel. Today we are in St. George, here in Staten Island, near the 9/11 Memorial. We were here recently, well, not exactly recently, but some time ago we were over here. But it was a day when it was cloudy and it was windy and messy and time I'd rather like to forget. We're going to be resuming our Queens series of shows tomorrow from Rainy Park that's over in Astoria. We were supposed to go there today, but you thought, you know, the weather today is too good an opportunity to pass up coming to one of my favorite places in the entire world. Times Square ranks close second. Anyway, we have a lot of news to get to this Wednesday, including the latest coronavirus developments. There's been an ongoing debate among the headstrong New Yorkers among us over just when and where it's necessary to wear a mask in the fight against the spread. Governor Cuomo, of course, has ordered masks for everyone that's out in public who can't maintain
D'Amelio himself has pledged to distribute 7.5 million masks in the city, which has seen at least 20,000 people that have been killed by the virus. But some city dwellers, they're adopting their own exceptions to these rules. It isn't unusual to see people leaving their masks dangling as they squeeze past people on crowded sidewalks or chatting with friends. Out west in Los Angeles, detectives there are struggling to connect with victims through thick masks, and investigators that are accustomed to wearing plain clothes are digging out their dusty uniforms for patrol duty as the pandemic continues to go on. Police departments nationwide are grappling with changes the virus has wrought on their investigations, even as law enforcement agencies are reporting major decreases in crime due to the stay-at-home orders. Authorities say, though, that wrongdoing abounds to keep the police busy, and detective work must still be in person and hands-on despite COVID-19. Evidence still has to be collected, statements must be taken in person, and death notifications still need to be made face-to-face. Whenever this pandemic is deemed safe enough for students to be returning back to school, myself included, returning from the break, students could be finding themselves making up for lost time either in summer classes, in the evening, or even on Saturdays. In California, their new year could start as early as July, and Maryland could see school year-round. But for some, lessons in the new school year may simply just begin where they left off. Administrators say that everything is on the table as they begin to think beyond the immediate needs of teaching through the pandemic to measuring and making up for lost learning once the worst is past. During his briefings, the governor has continued to argue that face masks are a sign of respect for the nurses and doctors who sacrifice their lives to protect people from the pandemic. Some people complain that face mask requirements are infringing on individual liberty. But the governor said that masks are a sign of respect to everyone the wearer walks past, as well as to workers pulling society through the outbreak. The 195 deaths that were recorded are a jump from 161 the previous day, but they're still about a quarter of the highest daily tallies just over a month ago. A 9-year-old boy in one of the regions upstate with relatively few cases of the virus is now recovering from a rare inflammatory syndrome that's thought to be related to it. The governor said yesterday that the state is now investigating about 100 cases of the Kawasaki disease-like syndrome. The 3 children have already died from it. Cuomo is now advising all hospitals to prioritize COVID-19 testing for children presenting with symptoms of the disease of the syndrome that affect blood vessels and organs. Of course, the virus that has sickened over 4 million people around the world and have killed more than 250,000 others is so new that patients are facing considerable uncertainty about what they can expect in recovery and beyond. In support groups that have been created on social media sites, survivors post head-to-toe complaints that read like a medical encyclopedia. Anxiety, heart palpitations, muscle aches, bluish toes, and the list goes on and on. It's hard to know which ones are clearly related to the virus, but the accounts help fuel the doctors' increasing belief that COVID-19 is not just a respiratory disease. As one infectious disease specialist says, quote, "The short answer is that we're still learning." And over in Fort Campbell, down in Kentucky, more than 200 soldiers who deployed to the city to help with the pandemic have now returned to the post along the Kentucky-Tennessee line. The soldiers are assigned to the 586th Field Hospital, part of the 531st Hospital Center. They spend more than a month at the Javits Center up in Manhattan caring for COVID-19 patients. The commander of the 531st, Colonel Brandon Pretlow, said that the soldiers took care of more than 1,000 patients. They deployed back on March 26th, but other soldiers from the 531st still remain deployed here to New York. There is other news of this Wednesday to address, and we will address those when the update with Brandon Julian, OTR, podcast exclusive also on the WKRB Mixcloud channel, returns in just 30 seconds.
A social distancing tip.
Putting distance between yourself and others is critical to slowing the spread of coronavirus. So here are ways to stay in contact without the physical contact part. Call, send a text, set up a video conference, post on social media, dedicate a song on the radio. If you have symptoms of fever, dry cough, and shortness of breath, call your healthcare provider before going to their office. For more info, visit ny.gov/coronavirus.
Let's all do our part, because we're all hashtag alone together. Brought to you by New York State and the Ad Council.
Welcome back, everyone. Some of the other news of this Wednesday. In Washington, the former Trump campaign chairman, Paul Manafort, has been released from federal prison to serve the rest of his sentence in home confinement over concerns from the virus. Manafort's lawyer, Todd Blanchy, said that his client was released earlier this morning from FCI Loretto, which is a low-security prison in Pennsylvania. Manafort had been serving more than 7 years in prison after being convicted as part of the special counsel's Russia investigation. His attorneys had asked the Bureau of Prisons to release him to home confinement, arguing that he was at high risk for the virus because of his age and pre-existing medical conditions. In other news, switching to Decision 2020 this November, the presumptive Democratic presidential nominee Joe Biden and his former rival Bernie Sanders have announced the members of joint task forces that their campaigns will use to hammer out consensus on six key policy issues. They include rising progressive star Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, who will provide input on combating climate change. Each committee has 8 members focused on health care, immigration, education, and criminal justice reform, as well as climate change and the economy. They will meet ahead of the Democratic National Convention. Each is charged with preparing recommendations for Biden and the platform committee, which devises the party's official policies on key issues. And finally, back here in New York, we all know that New York City, they've barred many employers from making job applicants get tested for marijuana use. That's under a new law that took effect over this past weekend. It passed last year as the nation's biggest city took a novel step in evolving regulation of workplace policies. Later, Nevada passed a similar law that went into effect on January 1st. The New York law bans companies from requiring pre-employment testing for marijuana, with exceptions for applicants for police, child care, commercial driving, and some other jobs. The measure, though, doesn't stop employees from testing current workers or firing them if they do fail a drug test. Time for us to step aside for a moment. When we return on the update this Wednesday from the Staten Island 9/11 Memorial in St. George, I will help you get around with the MTA Essential Service Plan. We're going to talk some sports and talk about how people in England can now exercise more than once a day, and with one person from outside their house, provided, of course, that they still maintain social distancing. We'll talk about what happened on this day in history, and then we will address the latest national news, including how advice from the nation's top disease control experts on how to safely reopen businesses. It gave some more restrictive measures than the plan that was released by the White House last month. We will address that and more. You know, when it's nice weather like this and you get all dressed up, there's always times like this where people have to say, like, you know, like, I have to use the bathroom. No. Why don't you listen to these messages and the update with Brandon Julian podcast exclusive, and also on the WKRB Mixcloud channel. Why don't you listen to these messages, and I'll be right back.
News for New Yorkers who never stop moving. You're listening to The Update with Brandon Julian on 90.3 WKRB.
What can I possibly do to make this stressful time a little better? Here's one thing I found. It's a small thing, a simple thing, a remarkable thing. Smile. You can share a smile from more than 6 feet apart. You can share it socially with the whole world. In fact, right now, I'm smiling at you. And I hope you're smiling back, because smiling is in you. From PassItOn.com.
Pass it on.
Now's the time to stay apart. Social distancing. But I'm adding something else. Pull together. What's pulling together while we're staying apart? It's calling family to check in on them. It's waving to your neighbor. It's the things we should have been doing all along. And when this tragedy passes and we're able to come together, we'll be stronger than ever, because we've already pulled together. Stay apart. Pull together.
Pass it on.
From PassItOn.com.
From New York, where kids eat for free, this is The Update with Brandon Julian on 90.3 WKRB.
Keeping an eye on the roads, the rails, and the skies, it's time for Traffic and Weather Together.
Because the MTA is running an essential service plan, service on most lines will be running every 20 to 30 minutes. Also, there's no scheduled service on the B, Grand Central Shuttle, W, and Z trains.
Now, with the latest scores and highlights, it's time for the sports update.
Let us talk some sports on this Wednesday. The South Koreans Golf Tour is starting up again. The KLPGA Championship is opening tomorrow without fans on the course. Organizers say that social distancing will be practiced by players and tournament officials. Players will also have hand sanitizer available. The tournament at the Lakewood Country Club, located east of the capital of Seoul, was originally scheduled for April 30th through May 3rd. Women's golf joined South Korea's professional baseball and soccer leagues, which have already restarted in the wake of the pandemic. And overseas in London, golf courses are reopening as part of some modest socially distanced easing of lockdown restrictions that's also bred confusion and a pickup in the use of public transport. People in England today can now exercise more than once a day and with one person from outside their house, provided the rule to remain more than 6 feet apart is adhered to. Other sporting activities such as tennis and swimming in lakes and fishing, they're allowed too. Stores selling gardening supplies can also reopen, while potential house buyers can visit properties. And people who can't work from home, such as those in construction and manufacturing, are being encouraged to return if they can do so safely. When we return on the update this Wednesday from the 9/11 Memorial in St. George on Staten Island, well, we're going to talk about what happened on this day in history, and then we will talk the latest national news, including how the Federal Reserve Chair is warning of the threat of a prolonged recession resulting from the outbreak. And he's urging Congress and the White House to act further to prevent the long-lasting economic damage. We will address that and more in the update with Brandon Julian, OTR. Podcast exclusive, also on the WKRB Mixcloud channel, returns in just a moment. Now, where in the world is my...
Tuned in to WKRB. The update returns in a moment.
All right, everybody in the car, let's go.
What are we going to do first when we get there, Mom? Go for a hike?
Sure, if you want.
What about canoeing? Can we go canoeing too?
I don't see why.
What about a bike ride? No, I want to fish.
Okay.
I've never been fishing.
Honey, we can do it all.
How long does it take to get to the forest?
It's not.
Is it going to be long?
No, sweetie.
I bet it takes forever.
It's not that far.
Are we there yet?
Yep.
We're here.
Already? No way. Come on, come on.
It's a short drive from your neighborhood to your naturehood. Visit discovertheforest.org to find a neighborhood park or green space near you. Also, find fun activities to do like boating and biking or camping and hiking, plus much more. It's all right in your naturehood. A public service announcement brought to you by the Ad Council and the U.S. Forest Service.
From New York City, doing business in the same location since 1904, this is the update with Brandon Julian on 90.3 WKRB.
Welcome back to the update with Brandon Julian, OTR, podcast exclusive, also on the WKRB Mixcloud channel. Today from the 9/11 Memorial in St. George, we're resuming our Queen series of shows tomorrow from Rainy Park. You ever feel like you had something with you and then in a split second it feels like it just disappeared? That's what just happened to me just now. I could have sworn I had a book bag, my personal book bag behind me, and now I cannot seem to find it for some reason or another. It's not like it blew away in the wind because if it blew away in the wind, I would see it. I'm literally right by the waterfront, so I would see it in the water. Or at least see it blowing away in the wind. But then again, it can't blow away in the wind because it had so much... It was a heavy amount... Never mind. Just never mind. There's just too many logistical issues to work out. Why don't we talk about what happened on this day in history for this May the 13th while I ponder where my bag is gone. The highlight of his day came in 1940, when in his first speech as British Prime Minister, Winston Churchill told Parliament, "I have nothing to offer but blood, toil, tears, and sweat." In 1568, forces that are loyal to Mary, the Queen of Scots, were defeated by troops under her half-brother and regent of Scotland, the Earl of Moray, in the Battle of Langside, thwarting Mary's attempt to regain power almost a year after she was forced to abdicate. In 1607, English colonists arrived by ship at the site of what became the Jamestown settlement in Virginia. The colonists went ashore the next day. In 1914, heavyweight boxing champion Joe Louis was born in Lafayette, Alabama. In 1916, one of Yiddish literature's most famous authors, Sulhem Alkheim, died in New York at the age of 57. In 1917, three separate children reported seeing a vision of the Virgin Mary near Fatima in Portugal. It was the first of six such apparitions that the children claimed to have witnessed. In 1918, the first U.S. airmail stamp, costing 24 cents and featuring a picture of a Curtiss JN biplane, was publicly issued. On some of the stamps, the Jenny was printed upside down, making them collector's items. In 1958, Vice President Richard Nixon and his wife Pat were spat upon and their limousine battered by rocks thrown by anti-U.S. demonstrators in Caracas in Venezuela. In 1972, 118 people died after fire broke out at the Shinichi department store in Osaka, Japan. In 1981, Pope John Paul II was shot and seriously wounded in St. Peter's Square by Turkish assailant Mehmet Ali Agca. I don't think I got that right at all. In 1985, a confrontation between Philadelphia authorities and the radical group MOVE ended as police dropped a bomb onto the group's row house, igniting a fire that killed 11 people and destroyed 61 homes. In 1992, the Falun Gong movement had its beginnings in the northeastern Chinese city of Kangchung. And in 1994, President Bill Clinton nominated a federal appeals judge, Stephen G. Breyer, to the U.S. Supreme Court to replace the retiring Justice Harry P. Blackmun. Breyer went on to win the Senate confirmation. When we return on the update this Wednesday from the 9/11 Memorial in St. George, Staten Island, we will talk the latest national news. news, including how New Zealand has dropped most of its lockdown restrictions at midnight as the country is preparing itself for a new normal. Malls, retail stores, restaurants, they're all open. We'll address that and more when the update with Brad and Julian, OTR, podcast exclusive, also on the WKRB Mixcloud channel, returns in just a moment.
News for New Yorkers who never stop moving. You're listening to The Update with Brandon Julian on 90.3 WKRB.
Hey, Dad, your prescription will be ready in just a minute. Hey, Dad, your laundry will be ready in just a minute. Dad, your lunch will be ready in just a minute.
Hey, honey, why don't you take a minute?
When you help care for a loved one, you give them as much time as you can. But it's just as important to take time for yourself. AARP can help. Find free care guides to support you and your loved one at aarp.org/caregiving. That's aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Have you noticed lately how empty everything is? Empty streets, empty stores, empty schools. But I'm trying to change these empty times by being full of gratitude. Gratitude means saying thanks to the garbage collector, the medical providers, and all those who are helping every day. Things may appear empty around us, but when we're filled with gratitude, nothing is completely empty inside us. Gratitude is in you. From PassItOn.com.
Listen to us on Mixcloud to learn more about the stories that matter to you. And did you miss out on any episode of The Update? Listen to us anytime at Mixcloud.com/the WKRB update.
Back to the update. Welcome back. That's the proper way to say it. Welcome back to the update with Brandon Julian, OTR, podcast exclusive, also on the WKRV Mixcloud channel. Today's road stop comes to you from the 9/11 memorial in St. George. I don't know what's happening. My phone's gone away now, Mike. knowing that this is wifey territory, I bet she has something to do with all of that. All right, Some form of composure. Let's talk the latest national news this Wednesday. Let's begin down in Gainesville, Florida, where the advice from the nation's top disease control experts on how to safely reopen businesses and institutions in the pandemic included detailed instructive guidance and some more restrictive measures than the plan that was released by the White House last month. The guidance, which was shelved by Trump administration's officials, also offered recommendations to help communities decide when to shut down communities again during the future flare-ups of COVID-19. The Associated Press obtained a 63-page document that is more detailed than other previously reported segments of the shelved guidance from the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. In Washington, the Federal Reserve Chair Jerome Powell has warned of the threat of a prolonged recession resulting from the viral outbreak and urged Congress and the White House to act further to prevent long-lasting economic damage. The Fed and Congress have taken far-reaching steps to try to counter what is likely to be a severe downturn resulting from the widespread shutdown of the U.S. economy. But Powell cautioned that numerous bankruptcies among small businesses and extended unemployment for many people remain a serious risk. He spoke a day after House Speaker Nancy Pelosi proposed a $3 trillion aid package that would direct money to state and local governments, households, and healthcare workers. All the way down under in Wellington, New Zealand, they dropped most of their lockdown restrictions at midnight as part of the country's as the country prepared itself for a new normal. Malls, retail stores, and restaurants are all reopening in the South Pacific nation of 5 million, and many people are returning to their workplaces. But gatherings will still be limited to 10 people, and social distancing guidelines will remain in place. The reopening reflects the success success that New Zealand has had in trying to eliminate the virus. The country reported no new cases of COVID-19 yesterday or today, and most that have contracted it have recovered. And finally, let's go to Salt Lake City, where starting a new life in the U.S. is never easy for refugees, but doing it during a pandemic has created more struggles. They're trying to navigate the upheaval of job losses and other challenges brought on by virus restrictions a day after in a language they don't fully understand, and without extended family or close friends to help. Refugee aid organizations have pivoted from training families for work and school to teaching them how to apply for unemployment benefits and do schoolwork online. They're dipping into emergency funds to pay for rent and food for families after the government cut off funding to help the refugees resettle. Our thought for today is from Solem Alekheim, born in 1859 and died in 1916. Our thought for today is, to want to be the cleverest of all is the biggest folly. And I could tell that my wife is doing that. I could tell that my wife is doing that right now. I'll let you guys ponder on that as we say, in the words of Walter Cronkite, that is the way it is. Wednesday, May the 13th, 2020. That is the update on this Wednesday from the 9/11 Memorial. From the 9/11 Memorial in St. George on Staten Island. I'm Brandon Julie. We appreciate you joining us. I have a wife to go find, and in the words of Roger Grimsby and Bill Butel, hoping that your news is good news, I thank you very much for joining me. Good luck. Be safe. Be well. And we'll pick up our Queen series of shows. We'll pick up our Queen series of shows out in Rainy Park tomorrow.